WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Jim Rutenberg had a great story in the Sunday Review section of the New York Times this week about how the Obama campaign is getting ready to play hardball in the 2012 campaign. Jim Rutenberg joins us now. Hi, Jim. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And your story begins on Election Day of this year, this month, with what you describe as a team of Obama volunteers quietly grabbing the mayoral elections for the Democrats in Charlotte and Raleigh, North Carolina. What happened in these fairly red-leaning southern cities?
You know, as the Republicans tell it, as we wrote, the Obama volunteers stole in by the dark of night and stole these elections. Actually, Democrats definitely would have been competitive, but not the way Republicans expected. It really actually literally freaked the Republicans out.
Not stole the elections like election fraud.
No, like just took them like overwhelmingly.
How'd they do it?
Well, they've been organizing for a long time, and this is the kind of thing where we reporters kind of tune out when the Obama advisors start talking to us about organizing. It's the most boring thing you can cover as a political reporter, but, you know, that really matters, and it's calling your old volunteers and saying, hey, come on back into the fold, you know, especially in the Obama campaign's case. We know you're kind of upset, but, you know, this is still important, and we're still fighting, and they kind of been slowly building back their organization, and so before they campaigned these two mayoral elections, they got their people going door to door and getting their voters out.
And you conclude in your piece that Team Obama out-hustled the local Republicans around the Tar Heel State, a trial run for 2012 in which they're mobilizing 20,000 teams of Obama volunteers. 20,000 teams?
Yeah, all over the country. I mean, again, while the Republicans kind of go and through their very noisy and distracting process, the Obama campaign sticks to its knitting and just builds these teams out in every state.
You say the Democrats even wrested control of the Wake County, North Carolina school board away from a Tea Party faction. The Tea Party was in control of the school board?
Tea Party-friendly members, Republicans, had taken over that school board 2 years ago, and that gave it a little bit of an extra sort of national kind of flavor, that race. But still, you talk to a Republican in North Carolina, and that freaks them out way more than anything else because it was a school board election, and here they see Obama volunteers mobilizing. The Obama campaign has tried to kind of downplay all of this, saying, well, our volunteers were doing this on their own. They're trying to really keep quiet. And that is what really made the Republicans most concerned, was that the Obama guys were not promoting this. This is all quiet, test run, checking the machinery, making sure the gears work.
But with young progressives more occupied by Occupy Wall Street than Obama mania, as they were in 2007, 2008, where will these 20,000 teams of volunteers come from?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't think that they have a great answer for it yet. You know, now these results, again, will dispel some of the doubts, but one of their arguments is, well, maybe we lose some of these kids, we'll call them, who left college, were excited about Obama, and now aren't, and are looking for work and are depressed, but they have younger brothers and sisters, and so they'll join the young ranks, and they're still kind of older ranks that want to believe in Obama. People still want to like Obama. Maybe they're a little disappointed, but they're going to try to get them going again, too. They're obviously losing the liberal conversation in New York and Los Angeles, and that's important because that's where the media is, and, you know, they're going to have to work on that most of all.
Listeners, we have Jim Rutenberg, national political correspondent for the New York Times here. Did you see his Sunday Review piece about the Obama campaign, its success this month in some local elections, supporting Democrats in North Carolina, and how it's gearing up for 2012? There's a lot more of this that we're going to walk through with Jim right now. But this is an opportunity for you to call up and say or ask anything you want about Obama strategy. This is not a policy segment. This is a politics segment as we talk about the Obama campaign 2012 and what Jim Rutenberg was able to reveal about it. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 with your thoughts or questions about the 2012 Obama campaign, or you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Jim, I think your larger point is that 2012 is not going to be the uplifting hope and change election of 2008. The Obama team knows they need to engage in what you call a much feistier slog, and they're getting ready for it. So what kind of Obama fighting machine are you watching take shape?
Well, by the way, you know what? I loved your intro to this segment, because what'd you call it? Paw and claw? Whatever.
Yeah, scratch
was great.
And claw instead
scratch
of hope and change.
Scratch and claw. Can I borrow that?
Include a link to the show.
They're clearly assuming at this point that Romney will be the nominee. Knowing anything can change in politics, that's why we love covering it. They are just blistering Romney every day in kind of quiet ways. I mean, in emails mostly to reporters, frankly, to their own activists. But there, a day is not going by where the DNC or the Obama campaign is not trying to kill Romney. And this is not just the transcendent rising above politics that everybody bought into 4 years ago, to be sure.
It's no coincidence that this 2011 trial run for the Obama machine came in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, it's a crucially important state. They're having their convention there, and that's like kind of putting a major bet on winning North Carolina. In one respect, the map is very generous for the Obama campaign because they won by such a large margin in so many states 4 years ago that they have some kind of states to spare. They know they're going to lose some states in this economy. They just do. So they have some room to lose some big states. They could actually lose like Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio and still squeak by. But, you know, they can't – that could happen, actually. So they really can't afford to lose too many states, and I think they've decided North Carolina is one of those can't-lose states this year.
And
year.
You mentioned that they are going to have the Democratic Convention in North Carolina this year. This is your four-day Charlotte vacation starting on Labor Day.
Can't wait. The wife is really happy about it.
Like, Charlotte, wow, we can go visit Bank of America headquarters.
It's a great city now, but yeah, it's going to be a four-day vacation, as you put it. I don't know.
Do you have any hint of how different this map could actually wind up? Because you say, and you know, people who have been following politics, let's say since Bush versus Gore, say what? Lose Florida and Ohio and Pennsylvania, the three legendary battleground states of the last 12 years, and still win the election. That means they're looking at unlikely blue states like North Carolina and Virginia, which Obama won both of in 2008, Indiana, which he won in 2008, Indiana. And then you said they might even try to add to this map the expansion states of Georgia and Arizona. Georgia, Arizona?
Right. I mean, you know, you talk to some Democrats even in those states, particularly in Arizona, and they think that this is a little pie in the sky. But, you know, the Obama campaign lives for being told that and upending the expectation. But, you know, again, like I threw out those states, the states they could lose, assuming they win everything and more that they won last year. Actually, sorry, if they won everything last year, they could lose. 4 years ago, they could lose those. But, you know, they do think they have to expand the map to buy themselves some insurance. Like, they're not taking anything for granted. Arizona, they think they saw some kind of helpful signs this last election when, you know, the gentleman in the state house who had pushed the immigration law lost. So they see some hopeful signs, but it's going to be hard, and they really know it.
Karen in Manhattan, I think, isn't quite buying this. Are you, Karen?
Well, it's not so much that I'm not buying it, but there was another article in the New York Times in the last few days which reported that the Obama campaign had actually given up targeting blue-collar voters, white blue-collar voters. And the reporter, I'm not sure, don't recall what his source material was, stated that they just felt that those voters were back in the Republican camp. And I found that very disturbing. Not so much, I mean, certainly it's clear that the white voters are sort of drifting away from Obama, but that the campaign had given up. Is that true, or what did you find in your research?
That was a very speculative opinion piece. And in fact, you know, we're writing about Obama coming to Scranton, Pennsylvania.
I saw that.
So no, that was a speculative piece that the Obama campaign strenuously disagreed with. And I would be surprised, seriously surprised, if they just wrote off white working class voters. They can't do that. They can't afford to do that. And, you know, Obama's going to go to Scranton, and Joe Biden is very good with that crowd. I mean, that was almost the reason that they brought him in politically, at least 4 years ago. So I just don't buy it.
But what's the path to victory that they see, in addition to state by state, if they've lost the enthusiasm of the very progressive base and they've really disillusioned the swing voter centrists who they got so many of in 2008, who, according to the polls, left en masse from supporting Obama almost right away with the stimulus bill and health reform?
Yeah, they would acknowledge that all of these are challenges. And by the way, one thing I don't want to leave any impression is that they're – I mean, they could very easily lose this election. And so, you know, they see all these challenges. So I hope that the results in North Carolina should – only to me were interesting that they said, well, it's not as bad as we could think. But, you know, that comes back to, okay, how do you get people re-galvanized? Well, first of all, that's where the ripping down Romney comes in, because they're going to try to villainize him and hold up his policies to galvanize their base and say, look, this guy wants to take us back to everything we fought to kind of move past in the Bush years. They may or may not be accurate. They're going to have to be very careful not to lie, which is campaigns tend to want to do sometimes. I think his campaign will be hard-pressed if they try to go that route. But that's one way. The other way is look at Ohio. I mean, in Ohio, you had this victory when the kind of unions and the Obama volunteers beat back these anti-union restrictive laws that Ohio passed. That was a kind of a reactive sort of galvanization, right? So they can get some reaction from Democrats and their activists if they feel like everything they had fought for is being taken away by Republicans.
Jim Rutenberg from the New York Times, national political correspondent covering the Obama campaign, with a big in-depth article on how they're going to try to win in 2012 in the Sunday Review section this week. Annette in Laurelton, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling again, Annette. Hi.
Hi, Brian. My oldest son, he lives in Greensboro, and he's a volunteer for the Obama administration. And what they really are doing, in my opinion, because I think what they do, they target, you know, certain areas. They organize, they stay focused, and they go into action. And President Obama is the motivator. So I think they're doing the groundwork now, and he's saying he's doing a lot of calling. And the team that he's working with, they're very organized.
Does he say who he's calling to say what?
Well, I think he gets a list of certain areas and asks certain questions. And so they're trying to get a lot of data together.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what they really do. They're really a team that really focuses on getting the areas that they're targeting together as far as information. And I think that's what works well. They're very disciplined, the ones that who are supporting him. I know my son, Jay, in North Carolina.
That's really interesting. Jim Rutenberg, is this sounding familiar to you as a scenario that you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. And again, this is why we don't, you know, that love that call, because we don't see this reported on the news. And, you know, we frankly should write more about it here. This is the stuff that could or could not matter. I mean, you know, some Democrats who, you know, have mixed feelings about how the campaign is running so far. So these are people who aren't in the campaign, but from the outside, have said to me, you know what, one place they will not be beaten is on organization. They could be beaten on other levels, such as the ones you mentioned before, deflation in the base, et cetera. But this is the kind of stuff that's not very sexy, but it could win elections, especially in super close elections.
Here's another one with a story, I think, a little similar to Annette's. Kim in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kim.
Hi. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Yes, my brother lives in the Winston-Salem area, and he's unemployed. Actually, he's been unemployed for over a year now, and he's a volunteer for the Obama campaign. You know, so he's got lots of time to do that. And, you know, he recognizes that the Republicans don't have anything to offer in terms of, you know, helping the economy. In fact, they're doing a lot of things that are they're trying to make sure that it doesn't get better.
So I guess if you're an unemployed progressive in North Carolina, you can go live in a tent at Occupy Duke, or you can volunteer for the Obama campaign. So what's he doing?
You know, calling just pretty much whatever, you know, they want. He's definitely, I'm not going to say probably as, I don't know, as excited as last time.
Right.
But he recognizes that, you know, as bad as things are, they could get a lot worse.
So what motivates your brother right now is stop the Republicans.
Yes, absolutely.
Kim, thank you very much. The last bastion of the Democratic base will always be those who will turn out to stop the Republicans. Right, Jim?
Absolutely. And that's a funny call because I think they would rather that her brother is working for their political prospects. But, you know, that may be the one of the few places where, wow, you know, someone who's unemployed actually is helping them, because I don't, you know, they've lost a lot of their people to unemployment, and that's where some of the deflation is.
Indeed. But if it's, you can't win it, you know, you can't win it. I don't think you can win a presidential election on stop the Republican.
But, no, and they say they have a they also say they have an argument for where they want to take the country in the future, which, you know, arguably I think is hard to focus on when you're hurting and hungry and looking for a job.
Well, in fact, Chris Matthews from MSNBC's Hardball was here the other day, and he was, you know, practically ranting about how Obama has so far utterly failed to lay out a vision for the public of what he would do in his second term. Let me play you about 35 seconds of Chris Matthews from our show last week.
I think if you're going to ask someone for a second term as President of the United States, you must give them a very clear preview of coming attractions, to use a movie term. And I think you have to begin to tell them the nature of any entitlement reform. We know it all is necessary. We know that some kind of reduction in the debt is essential. We know all these things have to be. And then, of course, we're always looking for something a little more marvelous, a little more adventurous. Are there any novel things he wants to do in the second term? I think he's very conscious of his place in history, as he should be. But I think he has to give us a portrait of what we're voting for.
Right.
And I think that otherwise it will be a purely negative campaign.
So, Jim Rutenberg, what do you think about that? Would the Obama campaign have any reply to Chris Matthews there and say, oh, yeah, here is our positive vision of what we're going to try to do in a second term?
I think their answer would be, you know, and they'd be in a lot more trouble if they don't have an answer to that. I'm sure they do, by the way, but 8 months from now. I mean, their argument would be, we're not running yet, and you're going to have no mistake. And this is what I assume they'll say. If they don't say this, he's right. They have a big problem. But I would assume that their answer would be that we're not in this yet. The Republicans are going through their process. We're, you know, trying to govern. You know, they're trying to act like they're not campaigning as much as they are. So they feel like the time has not come yet for them to have to lay out that vision. And I think we'll all be fascinated to see what it is. And indeed, if it is, you know, doesn't get beyond what Mr. Matthews just described, they're certainly going to have a challenge.
Raul in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Raul.
Hello.
Hi. It's you, Raul.
Hi. Oh, I'm on. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, thanks for taking my call. I know a lot of the really hardcore activists here in Brooklyn, and a lot of them are quite upset at the organization right now. For not really using them efficiently, that they seem to complain a lot about the top-down nature of the campaign, and that seems to alienate the organizers.
Have you seen that, Jim? If this was grassroots, ground-up Obama for America in 2008, is it more top-down in 2012?
I'll be very interested to see if that's a great kind of news tip for us. I haven't heard that yet, but if that's so, that's going to be really fascinating to watch it. And by nature, it must be more top-down if you think about it, because they don't have the same enthusiasm bubbling up. But one caution to those of us here in New York City, we unfortunately, for us in terms of our civic participation when it comes to national politics, can't be seen as a harbinger for anything. We're the, you know, this for both parties, obviously, we're sort of the stepchildren because, you know, we're just not a competitive battleground state.
It's the nation of New York City.
Yep.
The independent nation of blue New York.
Though Newt Gingrich is heading for Staten Island, so
is
figure
that right?
One out. Yeah.
Makes sense. Raul, thank you for your call, first of all. If Gingrich is going to win the Republican nomination, presumably he's going to have to win Republican primaries And there are Republican primaries, not just the general election, even in blue states like New York. And, of course, Staten Island is one of the most Republican areas, certainly of downstate New York. So why wouldn't he go to Staten Island?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, again, this is why we love politics, because, you know, for most of this year, the presumption, especially as these kind of also-rans implode, you know, the presumption is, well, Romney will just kind of seal it up. But, you know, this could be a drawn-out primary. There's, like, some changes in the rules on the Republican side. So
I love, you know, the change in the rules. I mean, love it from a spectator sports standpoint, you know, not passing judgment one way or another on whether it's good for democracy. But instead of winner-take-all delegates, when you win a primary, it's going to be proportional distribution of the delegates, right? So if in the New York primary, let's say Romney gets 60% and Gingrich gets 40%, I realize that doesn't take into account any other candidate, but then Romney would get 60% of the delegates and Gingrich would get 40% of the delegates or something approximating that?
Yeah.
So that means, I think, that some of these candidates who are not going to win, but who are going to command a few percent. Ron Paul always gets his 8 or 10% wherever he goes. He could wind up a power broker at the Republican convention if he's got all these delegates to control.
Yep. I mean, every 4 years we fantasize about a convention that really is eventful like that. But, yeah, you know, the Republicans watched 4 years ago, and this kind of brings us back to our point about Obama, but the Republicans watched as President Obama and then Senator Hillary Clinton battled it out from state to state because proportional representation, they'll prolong their fight, and that was good for their party. So the Republicans want some of that. That's another thing that some Democrats fear for Obama, is that this time around he's not going to have that kind of the excitement of the primaries to get his people fired up and ready to go, as they say. So, but the Republicans are trying to capture some of what the Democrats had 4 years ago.
Do you have any hint of how differently Obama would campaign against Romney versus Gingrich, or isn't Gingrich so much on their radar yet?
Yeah, I have a feeling Gingrich isn't really on their radar yet. Obviously, that will change with every passing day. Now we have, Herman Cain basically considering dropping out of the race. He was picking up a lot of enthusiasm. But right now, their focus is like a laser beam on Romney, even as we have the quote-unquote Newt surge.
And if they're going to scratch and claw, to come back to the original premise as we run out of time here, rather than hope and change, it's going to be scratch and claw. If that's going to be the idea or part of the idea, how will they go negative? It's not in Obama's nature that much, I think, from what we've seen. And there's a risk because, as you mentioned in the article, you can turn off centrist swing voters who don't like negative campaigning very much. So if it's Obama-Romney, let's say, how negative is he going to go, and where are they going to draw that line?
Yeah, well, we don't really know, and that's going to be, to me, one of the very most interesting things to watch, because especially I think Obama has a different kind of metrics for all of that, because he's Mr. Hope and Change, or was, so, and those independent voters kind of went along with that 4 years ago, a lot of them did. So I don't know. I would assume, judging so far from what they've done, they're going to try to use humor sometimes. And they're definitely going to keep it super issue specific. But one interesting thing about Mitt Romney as a quote-unquote flip-flopper is in the primary, it really hurts him that, you know, say he changed positions on abortion. But does that help him in a general election where some disillusioned, independent, left-leaning, and even some right-leaning Democrats say, you know, maybe he doesn't, he's not really so anti-abortion. You know, he did kind of say that he wasn't, and he was very pro-choice back in Massachusetts. So there, that's kind of hard for them, too. Are they going to want to promote what Mitt Romney said about abortion years ago in Massachusetts that his base will, that Obama's base might warm up to?
Jim Rutenberg, national political correspondent for The New York Times. His deep dive into the Obama 2012 campaign was on page one of the Sunday Review this week. Jim, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, still to come this hour, a call in for business owners on how the holiday shopping season is going so far for you. Are people really buying more? And if so, more of what? And a new generation of Cuban Americans visiting Havana for the holidays, not always with the blessing of their parents. So stay with us, Brian Lehrer and WNYC.